Hey guys, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. My name is Emmanuel.
I'm Chungozrim.
And I'm Bolu.
Yeah, so your intros are getting weird, Sha.
No, it's becoming more dramatic.
Try to put so
more weird.
Okay, yeah. No problem. Yeah. So yeah, guys, welcome to this edition of the podcast, and it's going to be very, very, very interesting because we have very, very weird stories ahead. I mean, why these guys are coming up with new things for intros? People are making billions of losses.
Look at us when you're saying that. So that
you know that
you're talking directly to us.
Why?
You're making billions.
You're making billions of losses.
Making billions. He's shading us.
Oh, so like our mates are losing billions.
Yeah, and then we are making up our
wow. Yes. Yay. So, but I've been thinking about that thing, right? So, Kuda Bank lost $6 billion, not billion dollars.
Naira.
They lost 6 billion naira in 2020. And okay, so the story was not surprising because obviously, come on, what are they doing? Free transfers, and their billboards are everywhere. So obviously, they'll be making losses. But I'm conflicted. Should I think like a typical tech person and say, oh, it's growing pains, it's a startup thing? Or should I think like a business person should about how to make profit? Because of course you could mention, oh, they have 2 million users, they've grown their revenue, but for me, those statistics are mostly bobo. 1 year ago, or close to a year ago, Kuda is still owing me 1.5 that did not paid me.
It's part of revenue.
He has to bring that in.
I had to, because how will you reach out? Okay, sorry. So 1 year ago, I've not used Kuda since 1 year now, and I guess I'm still one of the 2 million users. Yeah. And I'm thinking, if you go online and you look at all the customer complaints and you wonder, how many of people are still using Kuda? Are these part of the 2 million users? Mm. So, yeah, it's having me think a lot about customers and how most startups treat them, most of the customer service. So, they treat you like they talk like robots most of the time.
Yeah.
And, or like Kuda, they don't answer you at all.
So are you saying that you would have made the argument that, oh, they are growing, they have this number of users, if their services were like top notch and really good, like
and
Amazon?
I'm convinced that so there are some companies that if they tell you they have 2 million users, you don't doubt too much. If a Piggyvest, for instance, tells me they have 2 million users, I won't doubt. I don't see too many complaints.
To be fair, there's a difference between users and active users. So I guess what we can now look at is how many active users they have.
You can define active users by whatever metric you want to define active users. For instance,
if you make one transfer in a month, you're probably an active user.
Exactly.
Or you transfer in 3 years.
Some of them say if you use 5 MB in the last 3 months, you're an active user. How? 5 MB?
Well, the metrics can always be spun anyhow you want. But, I mean, if they say they have 2 million customers, they have 2 million customers.
No, be me go tell them how many customers they get.
What's interesting for me is the loans. So, they had a lot of growth. Like, people pointed out, or like the article pointed out, like, I think 4,000...
That growth. That's the thing.
Okay, revenue growth was over 4,000%. I think 4,315, if I'm correct.
Does it include the 1.5 that...
Of course, it has to increase. When did they do that again?
1 year ago.
1 year ago.
Or thereabouts.
Well, I don't know the financial year that yours happened. 2020. It did fall in.
So maybe in 2021 it even got worse, but in 2020, I guess it was.
Okay, well, maybe your 1.5 falls in, or someone else's 1.5 falls in, but that's still revenue. So they had like a 4,000% increase in revenue, but they had lower what do you call it now, like the loans that they had were like the loans didn't increase as much as the revenue, like the percentages didn't increase as much as revenue. But that was mad, like it was massive. That's where the losses came from. So I'm just wondering, I mean, they have 69% NPLs, and if for people who may not understand what NPL is, if you're given a loan that you're to repay in 30 days, so if you don't repay within a specific period, that loan falls under an NPL. So it now calls into question the whole digital lending. Is it too early? Is it too premature? Especially from startups. Is it too premature? Because one of the tweets that was used in the article was someone who was saying he hasn't been backing with Scuder for up to a year, and he already got an overdraft facility. Now, I've been using UBA for the last...
2 million users.
Of course. Okay. I've been using UBA for the last, let's say, 6+ years. And it was only last year or 2 years ago that they started sending me messages and telling me, oh, you can take loans on your salary.
Yeah, same here.
So, to be fair, the first 3 years I was using it, I was still a student and I didn't have an income. But they now have, like, there's that provision. And you see that they hedge their bets. They're only lending to certain people. I'm not just lending to everybody. But I go on Ikuda and I could qualify for loans in a very, very brief period. So I think we should now be questioning, is it too early? I mean, yes, people keep on talking about how it helps to broaden. Like, so if I get loans, I could use it for whatever I want. But the reality is that Nigerians, many of us, we still take out loans for personal reasons. Maybe you want to buy data or you just want to tide yourself over until the next salary. We are not taking loans to build businesses.
I think I saw a tweet yesterday of someone who took loans from plenty
companies.
So, but I'm thinking, is Scuder enough to judge? Have you looked at Carbon? Have you looked at Fairmoney? Have you looked at some of these other guys? Of course, we are not going to mention Soko Loan. And
those ones are not even loans. Those ones are just loan sharks.
Yeah, but Carbon, Fairmoney, for instance, they look like they've built a solid business around that.
Yes, but Fairmoney, I think there was an event last year and they claimed they had about 97-98% of their users repaying their loans.
That's fair.
To be fair, most of those loans are like B2B. They are lending to businesses.
Oh,
business
is
more. They are more likely to, if I'm running a business, I'm more likely to return your money than a personal account, because if you don't lend to me, I probably will find it difficult.
Well, so that's not always the case, because I have it on good authority from another startup founder that has to be chasing businesses to pay their stuff. So it's a buy now pay later company, and they have to be chasing companies to repay for items that they bought. Say, oh, CEO has approved it, Kiniko has approved it. So all those things it's a very, very nuanced conversation.
So now imagine
Kuda alone. It's enough to judge if...
Well, imagine, they're chasing a company and it's this difficult.
They decide now to focus on customers.
Actually. Yeah, now imagine if they decide to chase, let's say, 100,000 individuals across Nigeria. First of all, you don't even have adequate data on where they live. You don't know how much their income is. Like, it's actually crazy.
I guess this just opens up... I guess it's an area of fintech where we need someone to actually disrupt. You
know, please, probably. Please, Underwood.
Okay. An area of fintech where we need someone to create a solution around that
so
provides
an infrastructure for these guys that are running the lending.
Exactly.
Yeah, some guys are doing it. There's LendSquare, there's Evolve Credit, and I'm trying to remember these other guys too. But those two people that are trying to build this infrastructure to handle the liquidity side of things, the capital side, to handle the technology side, then to handle the repayment side of things. So those are issues that they have to face, even the fraud side of things.
People. See, if you ask me, first, because I don't take like outsized risks. Just think they should hedge your risk. Maybe decide we are going to lend to maybe just 2% of our customer base and just keep it at that. So if you lend to 10,000 people this year, next year maybe you just increase it 15,000 people. But then of course you won't earn a lot of money. But you're testing this because banks have waited for people to come and build your technology. And they are now using, I mean, think about it, banks waited, people built your technology. They now came and said lending to the same people that you think you're lending
that's
to.
Crazy low interest
rate. Low interest rate. So basically you've done the groundwork for them and they are reaping it. So I think there's a lesson there for them. I mean, I'm not a financial expert.
Yeah.
But there's a reason bigger companies are not doing what you're doing. So sometimes older people usually tell us that the enthusiasm of youths make us think that we can disrupt every single thing that we see. It's good, but it's also not good. There's a reason guys that have been in the industry for 10 years are not doing something.
I think I need to drag Olowe to the podcast so that you can have a chat with him, not me.
Okay.
Abi, how does that sound?
That sounds interesting.
So, but I was talking about fraud just now and you just reminded me of Uber this week. Hack. 18-year-old. How did it happen?
I like how you did that. Uber, hack, 18-year-old. Okay, yeah, so an 18-year-old has claimed responsibility for hacking Uber last...
We started like a correspondent from California.
No. I mean,
come on, young.
You know, people should leave in the comment section if they actually, you know...
Okay.
Actually I have that California correspondent talent. Just let me know. All right, so an 18-year-old has admitted to... Actually, he claimed responsibility for hacking Uber last Thursday. The hack was a total hack, according to some cybersecurity experts, such as Sam Corey. Sam Corey is a security engineer at Yuga Labs. If you are conversant with Web3, you know Yuga Labs. Yuga Labs is the company behind the Bored Apes and all that. And he said it was a total hack, and the hacker was actually able to get hold of Uber's source code, which is absolutely insane. And how did he do it? He was able to... It wasn't in the article I wrote, I said it wasn't a hack per se, it was social engineering. So he was able to reach out to an Uber staff, and he said he pretended as if he was a corporate IT person and demanded some details, and the person gave it to him, and he was able to get into Uber's internal system. He even posted a picture. I can't tell you what the picture of what he posted. He posted a picture on Uber's corporate, on their internal website. And then he chatted with some of the Uber staff. You know, some people thought it was a joke and all that, until they saw that he had gotten really deep into their systems. And the interesting thing is, it's not actually the first time that Uber has been hacked. I think they hacked them in 2016. And the person was able to...
So we're back to this again. Social engineering.
Yes, I think it's quite...
I'm all the Uber security person. I can imagine their face after installing everything.
Do you understand?
Everything is...
So it's not a fact that, okay, maybe the security guys or the IT guys did not build what we're supposed to build. It was just, everything was there. But then the human side of things.
Yeah, so it's...
Was...
Again, it's reminding me of another article. The human side... The humans are your loophole to any security firewall. So I wrote the article in 2020. So humans should be your first line of defense against any attack. So if your employees are not conversant with the things they should know, the two-factor authentications, the don't click on suspicious links on emails... Don't answer suspicious people, and try to read between the lines so that you notice slight spelling errors, because that's how things happen. That's how business emails compromise.
These days, people just scan emails, speed
just
reads.
Just scan.
Like, you're just trying to get just the get idea the end of what the person is saying. It's so easy.
So they should not go and send you Tech Point invoice, and the P is B. Tech Point.
And you
said the scam has happened already, and they didn't need to hack anything.
They didn't at all.
Just so I think social engineering is a very, very big issue, and I think it's one of the biggest threats. And it leads me to business email compromise that I just referred to now. You can watch the video on YouTube. Yeah, you can watch that video. So there are so many things to talk about, but I don't know. Is there any point to dwell too much on this? Because I feel like we flogged these things enough. People
What I just want to know now, and people can actually make comments, you know, in the comments section about what they think. Like, so the security agencies are investigating the issue, and some people were like, "Oh, it's a white hat hack. It's not as if he was really trying to."
Yeah, it was not a malicious hack.
But is it really, from the things Uber is saying, is like, if we catch you,
most likely they will employ him or something. But the guy also, I've not confirmed that he also touched Rockstar Games, got access to GTA.
Oh, was it the one? I
confirmed that.
Yes, there was also an hack. Someone released a part of their game,
Grand Theft Auto,
which actually led to a 3% drop in their stock price. It was quite painful.
If they catch you, they should do it too if they catch you.
Stock price. I'm curious. Did anything happen to First Bank stock price?
But First Bank stock price.
Yes. After they announced that their cards will no longer support foreign transactions.
Mm.
Did anything happen?
Stuff like this happen a lot in Nigeria, and
yeah,
it's like the stock market in Nigeria is immune from
because
business happening.
I mean, our stock market it exists in a bubble, so I guess some of the things that affect other companies may not really affect us, or some of the issues that you think would happen and affect companies may not really affect us. But yeah, it'd be interesting, Sha, to find out.
But why is First Bank stopping this? What exactly is going on in them?
And the same thing that
hack like the So
they're just stopping their First Bank is stopping transactions, international transactions on the Naira cards. So they have about 4 different cards that are all denominated in Naira. So you can't shop on Amazon, you can't shop on
AliExpress.
Inka.
Okay, Inka does not use First Bank.
Oh, okay.
Inka is our data lead, our intelligence lead, by the way.
Yeah, in case you're wondering.
He does a lot of those shopping. But yeah, you can't use it on websites outside the country. And the reason is still boils down to the whole Forex scarcity. So, I mean, even if you are not an economist, you have no interest in finance, you should know about Nigeria's Forex scarcity. The CBN is constantly looking for ways to either prop up their Forex regimes or just, according to them, protect Naira. They've done everything from... So in the last few months, banks have cut spending limits. It used to be... So I saw a report yesterday, just 7 years ago, you could spend up to $4,000 on your cards. But 7 years down the line, some banks have $50 limits, but the vast majority of like commercial banks in Nigeria have $20 limits. So now they are saying with those Naira cards, you can't. So if you want to spend, so it's not like you can't spend, though, you can, but you now have to like go get a different card from
a dollar card.
Yeah, in order for you to do all of that. So it's
so what the bank is doing. So this is what happens anytime you stress a business too much. They put the burden on the customer.
Of course.
So you now have to be the one looking for the dollar that is scarce.
But you know what you just said, startups do the opposite. You stress them, they put the burden on investor money. Because, I mean, classic Uber case, Kuda case, because a lot of the... Yeah,
for a long time, they were paying stamp duties.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden, things have changed. Markets have read. They now realize that,
it's possible. It's really weird because you can't even... If I called one of these banks, which day was that, and I wanted to open a dumb account, and they said, I need so-and-so dollar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, give me the dollar. They said, no, they don't have. I have to go and get from Bureau de Change. I say, where is Bureau de Change?
No, you have to look for them.
He said, Bureau de Change are easy to find. I said, I don't understand. I've never seen any office called Bureau de Change before. He said, no, you can just find them around. You can find them sometimes outside the bank. And I said, so it's those guys you're talking about.
Yeah.
Those Forex agents on the street at Allen Junction.
Forex agents.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, kind.
What do you want to call them now?
The way he said it makes them look like, from what I've seen.
You mean they are agents?
What do you want to call them?
Like,
they are national TV, let me remind you.
I mean the national TV itself. They are all agents. But
yes.
Even PT and BT, that's personal travel allowance, business travel allowance, is also suffering. Some people are unable to get it. So if you're going to, the number of people studying abroad has also increased. So they are suffering because of it. They can't access the foreign currency they need to pay for school fees.
It's everybody is suffering. Even we, TechPoint, we are looking for dollars to pay for hosting right now because most of the revenue we earn is in Naira, right? So now we need dollars to pay for AWS,
I think businesses just come together and do like a town meeting where they just share their woes with the dollar.
So it's very weird. I was arguing with our developer this morning, and he was arguing that we don't have an AWS equivalent in Nigeria or something that does that. And I would like to be wrong, and I believe he's wrong. And I've been searching for
one. You've not found any.
I've not found something that can really, really handle the kind of numbers that we have at TechPoint, or people that are doing 3, 4, 5 times what we are doing. There are many startups that are doing that. Some of them have investor money. But some of us, we don't have investor money. We're bootstrapping. So,
and everybody keeps on complaining about AWS dues at the end of the month. So
AWS, even if you just run it. Let's move on from there.
No, but should the CBN really be blamed for everything going on?
Well, they're the first people you should be blaming for issues like this. So they are in charge of monetary policy. Damn. And you cannot, who do you want to blame? Me?
Okay. I think, because I just saw this morning that even the British pound is at a 37-year low, which I think the whole economic, the global economy is really having, it's taking its toll.
Yeah, but we need to start having these currency issues today, you know.
Yes, and I think it's the accumulated issues with our currency that now that we have these issues that has now blown up. So well, in a way, I guess.
So I'm sorry to be calling the CBN out, but for a very, very long time now, for over almost 8 years, the currency has been getting worse and worse.
I mean,
they keep implementing counterintuitive policies that do not make sense. Like,
you've gone from exchanging the naira against the dollar for, I think, 300 at some point. Like, there was a time when if you had $1,000, it was just 150K. I remember in school, if someone told me about your $1,000, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, I just did the calculation of 150K. Well, I mean, it's not that much. But now you do $1,000 and it's almost 750K.
It's ridiculous.
And this is in how many years? Less than 10 years.
Closed borders. They've done... they say they want to do Nigeria by Nigeria, and we are not seeing anything.
have you seen that they are going to ban Omo in order to encourage us to make, like, to grow the Omo?
Ban what? Omo?
So we should not be eating it. So that it will encourage tannery or leather production in Nigeria. Like, sometimes I wonder, I need to know.
Then I want to pay for my small thing on AliExpress. I can't because.
Yeah, because
of oh God. Bomo. Don't worry. Let's pay.
I'm coming for your bomo. Nifemi.
Let's pay homage to the people paying our house rent. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Abisola Adenoga, the head of business at TechPoint Africa. Did you know that you could present yourself as a reputable brand leader? Did you know that your business can get the limelight it deserves? Now you do. Using TechPoint Africa's marketing tools, we can put you in the faces of a large audience for brand awareness and thought leadership. To do this, reach out to us by sending an email to business@techpoint.africa or click on the link in the description below.
All right, so welcome back to the TechPoint Africa podcast. And I think now it's a perfect time to tell you about the FinTech Summit 2022. So, we're talking about the fintech in everything and how fintechs are changing the way we think and the way we approach financial services. So you've heard us talk about CUDA, you've heard us talk about CBN. So why not find a place where everything converge into one very, 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 very palatable mix? And that is the FinTech Summit 2022, holding November 26th. So come November 2026 at Four Points by Sheraton, we'll be bringing some of the biggest players in the fintech space and have some exciting conversations. And there's also another sweet element to the FinTech Summit.
Yeah, the hackathon. So if you're a developer, you're a designer, you're a product manager, just anything, and you have an idea for a very good product that solves financial problems in Nigeria, the more innovative it is, the better. Please don't bring another
CUDA.
No, don't bring another maybe cross. So if you can solve cross-border payment to all African countries, I think that counts because it is a big deal. If you can do that, perfect. But please don't bring an app that just helps me convert my airtime to cash, please. So yeah, you have the chance of winning $5,000. Let me repeat it, $5,000. So that's a lot of money. So That's a prize. And the hackathon is on. Just go to fintech.techpoint.africa. You see a link, register, submit your idea. So you could do that in teams, or you could just do it alone. But teams will help you, because, I mean, if you want to go far,
two heads are better than one.
Exactly. So, yeah. Just go to fintech.techpoint.africa, get to register, and you can share it with people that you know. So that'll be cool.
Yeah, I'm also giving a shout out to the hackathon sponsor, One Liquidity. Yeah. So, yeah, you can also check them out on the platform. Though, just go to fintech.techpoint.africa and you'll see everything you need to know. But talking about financial services companies, they are doing interesting things and they are doing very, very weird things. Your people have come again. Yes. So we're hearing that a bank has joined MTN in the metaverse.
Yes, you have heard right.
So talk to us about that.
All right.
No time wasted.
So Nedbank is one of the largest banks in South Africa, and they are joining MTN in the metaverse. So if you have been following the conversation, you will know that sometime around March, MTN joined the metaverse called Africa Rare. Africa Rare is a metaverse created by a South African entrepreneur. His name is McMahon. And
he's white?
Yes.
Okay.
Why did you ask?
No reason.
All right. His name is McMahon. And why is Nedbank entering the metaverse? The same reason, kind of the same reason MTN gave us back in March when they told us they were entering the metaverse. They wanted to offer services to their users that want to, you know, use, you know, these digital products a little bit differently, you know, that users that are in the metaverse. But I'm thinking to myself, I went into the metaverse. Yes, I actually took a stroll around there.
It looked like you were playing Minecraft.
Like,
or very
Minecraft is a metaverse too.
Or you're playing Sims 3.
All those things are metaverses. Actually.
So it's what,
not everything is Web3 powered. That's where the discrepancy is. So
you're basically creating what gamers have been enjoying for ages.
But when you add that Web3 aspect to it, there's now the possibility of actually bringing real world money.
Have you met World of Warcraft people?
Yes.
People playing World of Warcraft.
Yes. When you add the Web3,
some of them don't even distinguish between the real life and the game sometimes.
Okay, so let's put it this way. That the Web3 aspect of it makes everything decentralized. Than World of Warcraft is just a company it's one centralized
Africa
company.
Africa Rare, for instance, now won't gain anything from people using this.
Oh, definitely.
They will.
Definitely. They will. I'm sure they are creating it to gain something. Nobody creates.
Okay.
So let me have a theory, right? Okay. So what I'm thinking is MTN joined this thing, now Nedbank is doing this thing. I think what is actually happening is kind of like a publicity for Africa Rare, right? Because I didn't finish my story. The story is this small remaining juice inside.
Sorry,
the story.
I've been waiting for this story.
I don't know why anything I've done, you people are just eager to jump on me. Don't worry. When I buy my Lambo, you will come and meet me.
I know what I'm like. All
right, so Nedbank purchased a 12x12 village inside Africa Rare. It's actually Africa Rare is like a general name for the metaverse. The place inside that metaverse where, you know, these things are going on is Ubuntu land. Yes.
So original, man.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's kind of like publicity for Africa Rare. I'm not sure. I looked at McMahon, I looked at his LinkedIn page. I didn't see that he has worked at any of these companies, you know, MTN, Nedbank. I can't really say where the connection is, but because when you think about it, they said they are joining, you know, because yes, might be because they are forward thinking, but again, we all know companies don't do things unless, you know, to be profitable for them in a way. And in Africa, is metaverse really that much of a thing right now? The numbers you see now are mostly from people in the US that use not even just Web3 powered metaverses, like you mentioned. You mentioned the game, there's Roblox, there's Minecraft. So yes, the metaverse is that kind of market. It's kind of like connected to the gaming industry in a way. But in Africa, we don't really have You don't really have that.
You don't even have the network to play those
games. You don't have the network to play those games. So, I just think it's kind of like publicity for Africa Rare. And it's
so not just Africa Rare for me, because what the heck is Nedbank doing with the metaverse?
What are you doing right now?
What the hell is MTN doing with the metaverse? So, are they just trying to sound cool and sound?
I guess. I think.
Are they trying to maybe make very little investments now? And if it works out,
fine.
If it doesn't work out, well, we didn't put a lot of money.
I agree with you, Mazurim. I think it's just going to be a form of investment. Who knows? This thing might take off in a few months. And MTN, the land that they bought since March, is still under construction. I went there. I saw the trailer and everything on the metaverse. They've not built anything. It's only one banner.
So
that's flashing empty and that's there.
This is so funny.
So I think I probably need to take it straight into the metaverse and probably read a little bit more about it, because I still don't get it. I mean, my natural reaction is to revolt against anything that limits human interaction.
Because so if you are familiar with the gaming world, metaverse should not be too far from there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not those immersive open world games.
Exactly.
So if you've played the GTAs, you've played Far Cry, you've played World of Warcraft, all those kind of games where it's a virtual simulation, what your late difference now, it is becoming a little bit more real. Mm. It's now coming to your doorstep, it's coming to your offices, it's coming to, so you're entering a world where instead of having to commute from here to Lagos, you're actually just staying, not from here to Lagos, from Lagos to Abuja to have a meeting. You could actually have a meeting with that person in the metaverse, and the 3D avatars of yourself will be talking with each other. So it's just a gamified concept that has morphed into serious conversations, thanks to our dear brother Mark Zuckerberg.
I heard they are losing mad money on that.
And crazy thing is, I think Microsoft will beat them to it, because Microsoft, they've been in that game before Facebook.
Oh.
The games they acquired, well, Bethesda.
Let's wait and
recently.
See.
Yeah. Let's
I
wait
disagree,
and see.
But let's wait and see.
Okay, why do you disagree?
I just think Meta is up to something, and Meta, when you talk about metaverse, what will come to your mind is the Oculus.
Is it?
Goggles,
no, don't worry.
Like that. Microsoft doesn't really.
They're moving in silence.
Oh, they should continue. That's what like HTC that. Said.
Move in silence. Shock them with your victory.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Now let's end this here for you. So, guys, let us know what you think about all the stories we talked about here today. All the way from Kuda's losses to Uber hack to First Bank stopping international transactions, and of course, the metaverse. Let us know what you think about the metaverse. And before we go, I would like to touch on a very, very important subject. And it pains me to say this, because I understand the media terrain a little bit in Nigeria. So I just want to point out something. If you are pitching to TechPoint journalists, the TechPoint journalists are those you are seeing right now, the three of them in the studio, and a few others that are not here that are working behind the scenes in the same studio. And if you are pitching to them, pitching to a TechPoint journalist is completely free. So, but before pitching to them, you need to ask yourself a few questions. Do you really need press, or do you just want to market? Do you need to acquire users? Do you need to get just spread the word? Then maybe press might not be the best for you. But if you want to build reputation, you want to establish yourself as a thought leader, you want to tell your story in a way that engages our audience, then it makes sense. So our editor-in-chief, our co-founder Muyiwa Machiluko, wrote an article about how to get free and effective press for your startup 2 years ago. And I think he updated it last year. So I think you should check that article out. But there are key points I want to establish with you. When you are pitching to journalists, it's actually better to pitch to the subject matter journalist. For instance, look at this podcast setup today. When we're talking about the financial stuff, you'd notice that Chinguzirim was the one that handled most of the comments. When we talk about the security hack, we talked about the metaverse, it was Bolu. Then you must have noticed I'm always excited about 5G, technology, internet, and all of that. That is also something I'm interested in. So think about the subject matter journalists. Observe what they publish. And this applies not just to TechPoint, it applies to any tech media platform out there. So if your company just changed their logo and you're coming to TechPoint to publish the story, it doesn't make any sense. But if there's a journalist at TechPoint that has shown interest in analyzing the intricacies of UI design and what it means and all of that, then it makes sense. Or if your startup does sponsored Big Brother, look for a journalist that analyzes marketing trends and what they mean. It makes sense that way. So that is what I want to point out. And paid stuff, marketing stuff, clearly and separate from what we do here at the editorial. So we've been able to maintain that balance. And if you're talking to our head of growth, you must have heard him say most of all those things once or twice. So this is me, Emmanuel Paul, managing editor at TechPoint, telling you, pitch to a journalist at TechPoint with a convincing and compelling story, and it's completely free. The only caveat, you cannot control what goes out, when or how it gets published. So I guess with these few points of mine, I've been able to convince you.
Oh, yeah. And not confuse you.
Yeah, so please, for more information, we're going to be linking to Muyiwa's story in the description, so you can see a comprehensive breakdown. What I just did was a summary, and I have spent too long on this. If you're watching us for the first time, share us on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, hopefully, and LinkedIn. And of course, for the OG guys who have been following us on the audio side of things, Bolu, where can they find
us? Yes, you can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Hiat Radio, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
I'm sure this guy dreams about seeing this thing at night.
Yes, I'm convinced.
It gives me joy.
I'm convinced. All right, bye-bye, people.
Bye.